You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
There's nothing like a shaggy dog, baby. They're shagadelic. And this is the place to find out how to achieve harmony in the household with your pets. Yeah, peace, harmony, pet power. Holy shih tzu, baby. You'll learn how to keep your pets from chewing your shoes or eating your cat. It's all about relationships, baby. You and your pet... pet. So tune in, turn on, and get ready for the positively grooviest pet podcast on the planet. Ooh, that's a lot of peas, baby, isn't it?
What's this show called?
Oh, Behave!
No, really, what's this show called?
Oh, Behave! With your shagadelic host, Arden Moore. What's happening, Arden? Yeah, baby, yeah. Tell us.
Welcome to the Oh, Behave show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. You know, our dogs don't care about how much money we have in our savings, or whether we're hip to the latest fashions, or that we know so-and-so. All they want, really, from us is good guidance, love, and, of course, great chow. Our special guest today, Steve Brooks, is man's and woman's best friend when it comes to bringing out the best in dogs and people. For nearly two decades, he has been the go-to guy to help train dogs for celebrities and for folks like you and me. His latest success story, yep, he was the trainer behind the scenes that led to a playful boxer pup named Presley and a sweet but dog-naive bartender named Travis winning the greatest American dog title on the summer hit show on CBS. Welcome to Oh Behave, Steve.
How are you? How are you doing?
I'm doing great. We're going to learn the best way to bring out the best in our dogs, debunk some canine myths, and dish a bit about some canines living with celebrities right after this commercial break. So sit, stay, and we'll be right back.
Would you like to go out? Well, actually, I was talking to your owner. I meant on a date, baby. Yeah, you and me. Oh, Behave! We'll be right back after these groovy, shagadelic messages. Oh, yeah.
Do you love your dog? Then you'll love feeding him mouth-watering, all-natural treats, lovingly handmade by a professional caterer who wanted the very best for her dogs. Make no mistake about it, these are not ordinary dog treats. These are doggy delights, like breakfast banana biscotti, honey bear peanut butter balls, yummy apple cinnamon mini cakes, and so much more. Your dog will howl in delight. And now you can get a scrumptious sample pack by going to dingersdogtreats.com. It's a $25 value, yours for just $9.95 through this special radio offer. That's D-I-N-G-E-R-S, dingersdogtreats.com. Every one of these gourmet doggy treats is handmade from the finest ingredients and taste tested on our own dogs. Your dog will love them. Get $25 worth of doggy delights now for just $9.95. Go to dingersdogtreats.com now. That's D-I-N-G-E-R-S, dingersdogtreats.com. Yum.
New York, the glitz, the glamour, the exciting Muttropolis, the sparkling kitty city that never sleeps. Join us each week for Pets in the City with your host, Diane West. Celebrity pet sightings, hot events, and news and reviews with the hottest movers, shakers, and tail waggers in New York. So take a bite out of the Big Apple with Pets in the City every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
We're switched back on, baby. Yeah, so let's talk pets with our smashing host, pet edutainer Arden Moore, and the groovy show that's cool, baby. Really shagadelic. Oh, Behave!
We're back. Welcome to the Oh Behave show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. Our guest today is Steve Brooks. He's a successful LA-based professional dog trainer. He does a lot of work behind the scenes, but you go to his website, www.stevebrooks.com. canineu.com, and you're going to be blown away by the things that he's done for nearly two decades. And Steve, you know, I know you deal with celebrities, but what I really like is that you're all about positive, reward-based training. And so I applaud you for that. But I think it'd be good if people can get a little background on you. You were, and you still are, quite a musician, a professional drummer. But take us back about 15 years to that back road in Tennessee and how you met this amazing dog named Sven.
No problem. I moved to Nashville from Los Angeles. I was born and raised here in Hollywood playing drums. And when I moved to Nashville, the first day I got there, I saw a dog thrown from a moving car. And he couldn't walk. It was in front of Hank Williams' farm, actually. And I rescued him and brought him to the vet, and all the doctors told me to put him to sleep. He was like a Jekyll Hyde personality, growling and then kissing and then growling. And I was intrigued, and I wanted to figure out how to bring out the best in him, and I didn't want to put him to sleep. And he kind of inspired me to be a trainer. So, You know, he was a band mascot for years, and he went on the road with me and my band and had a soundproof doghouse and, you know, played the starving musician role with us for years on the road, you know, living off catfish we were catching out of the rivers in Tennessee. And he ended up being quite a successful dog. He lived to be 12. He became sick at age 9, and all the doctors told me to put him to sleep. He had a tumor and cirrhosis of the liver. I kept hanging on to him for 3 more years, and he recorded an album, and he played piano and bass and guitar and sang actually human English, if you can believe it or not. And he recorded an album before he passed away. And he's the reason I train dogs. He's the reason that I have my business. He inspired me. And that's kind of the story there behind Sven. And I still play drums. You know, I stopped playing with musicians for a while and did the album with my dog. And now I just I play for fun now, not as much as a professional as I did in the past.
His album, I guess it was called Canine Fusion, correct?
Correct. And
all right.
Who Really Loves You was the title of the album. Canine Fusion is the name of the band. And it was basically me on drums and dogs doing everything else.
Talk about this furry band you had. What kind of dogs and what kind of music did they play?
Well, it's kind of, I call it mixed breed acid rock.
Of course.
Little fusion mix. Let's see, my dog again played, Sven was the main musician on the album. He played the piano, bass, and guitar. My other dog, Legale, did some backup vocals. We had a pug that would grunt and make noises, you know, some Basenjis and some Huskies, and we had howling and grunts and snorts and sneezes, and I kind of just edited it down and made music out of it. And then my dog played live piano over the top, and he would sing over the top, and, you know, went in the studio and just did a kind of a rush job because I knew he was sick, and I just wanted to get it on tape. It was kind of like Mr. Ed, you know, the show.
Yeah.
Mr. Ed. The horse talked, and nobody believed the horse could talk. My dog would actually say real words and play these instruments, and nobody could, and I just had to get it on tape. I had to get it on tape, so we did the best.
Well, I'm glad you did, because Sven lives on, you know. I saw the clip where you were on one of the TV shows, and Sven was imitating Ray Charles.
Yeah, he does a great Ray Charles impersonation, Elvis, George Burns, he does Elton John. Check out the website, check out the CD, it's a lot of fun. It's good, people love it, and dogs love it. It's for people and dogs, really.
Well, one of the things that perked our ears and interest and got our tails a-wagging and tongues a-wagging is the fact that you were sort of the Wizard of Oz, if you will, the person behind the contestants on the Greatest American Dog Show on CBS. And I watched the show. We were fortunate to have the contestants as guests on our show. And I love Lori and I love Travis and what they were able to do with their dogs. But I think part of the thanks goes to someone like you. So tell us a little bit about the behind-the-scenes of the show, how you got involved in it, and whether they're celebrities or not, what was some of the take-home points you were trying to give both the contestants and the viewers?
Well, basically what happened is I knew about the show, and I would have loved to have been one of the contestants with my dog had he still been alive. And so I knew about it, and I got a call one day from CBS, and they sent me Travis. They said that they didn't really tell me what it was all about. They just said they're going to send me some guy. He needs to know a bunch of tricks in about 2 weeks. And he's a standby. Basically, he came over, and he said he was a standby. He hadn't been picked for the show yet. He wasn't cast.
Really?
He actually tested and didn't pass, and they put him as number 13 out of the 12 contestants. And they said, go to Steve Brooks for a couple weeks, come back, retest, and then he basically did that. He came to me for several weeks before the show. We did kind of a crash course, and then, you know, I worked with him almost every day. And I just kind of, lived vicariously through him. I wanted to do it, but I knew I couldn't, so I just gave him everything I had. And he retested, he joined the show, and he won. And I was very proud, and yeah, it's nice to get a little credit because, you know, during the whole show, I didn't get any credit for it. So it's nice now that the little credit comes out because I really did. Presley was a beautiful dog. I mean, smart, like a child prodigy, and he was just so willing to learn. It was so much fun. Just, you know, we went to town. But I really taught Travis what to do more than Presley. I taught Travis how to continue training him because he was the guy that was going to be living in the house, not me.
It sounds like with Presley, you know, he was maybe a four-legged prodigy, but you also had somebody in Travis who seemed to be like a sponge and want to learn. He didn't seem to want to always say, hey, what do you mean by that? I watched him on the show, and he was always paying attention to the other contestants and their connections with their pets. So he seemed to be a good student as well.
He was. I mean, he's truly a nice guy. He doesn't just come across that way on TV. I mean, he's really a genuinely nice guy. And, yeah, he was a sponge, and you know, I'm sure he picked up on what everyone did there as well, because, you know, I know they sent a few other dogs as well to local L.A. trainers before the show. Just like 1 or 2 weeks before, I'm aware of a few other dogs going to different trainers in L.A., and so I guess they kind of just, you know, wanted to give everybody a little boost of training before the show started. And, yeah, it was a lot of fun. I felt like we maybe gave Presley a little too much information at a young age. We overwhelmed him with tricks. And he came back to me after the show. And, you know, he was trying to do everything at once. And I really had to kind of refocus him, go back to the basics. But I was just so proud of him. An elephant charging him in one of the shows, if you remember.
Oh, yes.
You know, stayed in his position with the elephant charging him. And that's one thing we really worked on. You know, I think all dogs need a foundation. They need four, I call them the four commandments.
Okay.
And if you have those four commandments, you can override any problem. And one of them is stay. If you say sit or down, the dog should not move, even if the elephant's charging.
I'll remember that the next time I'm in Oceanside and my two dogs see an elephant come down the street. I'm going to just say, Chipper or Cleo, hey, stay.
Okay. And, you know, it can save their life, truthfully, if you have a good stay, a good recall. They come when they're called. They don't pull on a leash ever, and they can stop if you give them a look or say no, you know, some kind of stop command. You can really override any problem. Then the rest is icing on the cake if you get those four commandments down.
Okay, let me make sure we got them. So we've got to come no matter what, to walk nicely
no
on a leash
what.
Without yanking, and to stay until they get the okay, and to understand the no or, hey, I'm not really cool with that kind of look, right?
Yeah, I really can't think of anything you can't override with one of those commands. If the dog's running out in the street, come. Or if they're across the street, down. You know, a look, they stop. And they just, then you have control. The rest is easy. Like I said, I'm a drummer. And when I play drums, I have a snare drum, a hi-hat, and a bass drum. And those are the foundation of a drum set. Everything else is extra icing on the cake. You don't need all the cymbals and toms and extra percussion. And with dog training, if you have those four things solid, the rest is just icing on the cake.
Well, that's what I wanted to talk to you about. There seems to be a lot of different training styles out there, and unfortunately, a lot of folks want to have their dog trained yesterday or have someone just take their dog and train them, and then when they come home, poof, they have this perfect dog. Talk a little bit about reward-based training and why it is so important that the person's involved in the training.
Yeah, consistency is key, and to have the whole family involved is important, so everyone's on the same page. And reward-based training, you can really get to an underlying problem and fix it, opposed to correction-based training where you might force the dog into a situation, and it might look good on TV, but you're band-aiding the problem. You're not getting to the underlying problem and really fixing it. In other words, if you're walking down the street and you have a pinch collar on your dog, and every time you see another dog, you jerk him away, he might eventually learn to walk past that dog because he's afraid of being jerked, but you're not really getting him to like the other dog or like passing other dogs. So I'd prefer to see another dog coming up the street and have me be more excited than the other dog. And some of the dog's resources come out, whether it be his food, a toy, some love, attention. I want to be more excited than the other dog. And in time, it might take longer. You have to start at a distance. So I'm talking about an aggressive dog on leash,
right,
for instance. You're walking,
right,
an aggressive dog on leash. You have to get at a distance where the dog won't explode, a distance where you can be successful, and then slowly get closer and closer. And sometimes it could take even months to get a dog to walk past other dogs nicely. But in the long term, you're going to really fix that problem instead of band-aiding it. So, mm-hmm, there's a lot of reasons reward-based training. For instance, just an example would be putting your dog's nose in their pee if they go on the carpet or something and getting mad at them. That generally causes a submissive peer. You'll come in the house and your dog's going to cower and pee and when guests come over. So you're losing the trust factor. And, you know, in the old days, in the real old days, in the 12th century, they were using reward-based training.
Really?
They had gentle leaders and halties similar to those, you know, a head harness on dogs in like the 1500s. And then in the 60s, you know, it was a lot of corrections and choke chains and pinch collars. Then reward-based training took off again in the 80s or, you know, or 90s. And now with all the TV shows and a lot of the harsh corrections and the pinning and alpha rollovers, a lot of it's taken a step backwards. So I'm trying to let people realize that I used to train that way. I used to train. I didn't know better. When I found my dog and I started working for veterinary hospitals and trainers, I was using pinch collars on every dog we trained. That's what I thought. That's what they did. That's what I did. Over the last, you know, 15 years, I've figured out other methods, and it's a lot more fun. You know, it makes you just use your brain and be creative, and there's a lot of fun, creative ways to train a dog without using force. And you don't have to use bribery either. It doesn't, just because you use food, when I say reward-based training, it doesn't have to just be food.
Give us a couple of examples.
Well, I like to think about where can you pet your dog? Where do they like to go? What do they do when they get there? What foods do they like to eat? What things do they put in their mouth and play with? Exercise could be a reward. You know, sit at the door before you go through, not because you're dominant and I'm alpha and I'm going to make you sit because I'm macho, because for your safety, for one, and for two, exercise can be a reward. So sit, look at me, let's talk about it, let's be a team, let's communicate, and then we'll go for a walk. You know, exercise is a reward for sitting at the door, or rest could be a reward. If you want to lay on your favorite bed, come, down, stay. Rest could be a reward for coming, laying down, and staying. Even going pee and poop on a tree could be a reward. So if they pull you to the tree, they just got a reward for pulling. If they walk nice to the tree and you say sit, and then you let them pee, it's a reward for walking nice and sitting. So, you know, controlling their resources, making them work for a living, is a lot more fun than forcing them.
Yeah, I mean, I really get happy when I pee on a tree and someone tells me, good girl, Arden, you know, and I didn't yank on any chain. So I try to do that, but not in public when everybody can see me. I'm just kidding. But I think what we're doing here is that people need to realize that building a foundation, as you've done with many people and their pets, is really critical, and that you can't expect instant success stories. But slowly building, 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 you're going to end up having an awesome dog. And maybe we end up becoming better people, too.
Another key is not allowing the dog to make too many mistakes until they have the foundation. Once they have that foundation, then they can be lassie. Then they could run around the house and have the yard and the doggy door and the beds or whatever. But if they don't know the rules, those four commandments, and in addition to those four commandments, if they're not potty training, you know, mistakes in the house or being destructive, those are the other two things. If you get those six things down, you've got a great dog. Then they could be free and run around. But until then, it's nice to limit their freedom, just like a child would have a crib or a playpen. And when the kid's old enough to know the rules, they stay home, they can be free. And it doesn't matter what the age of the dog either.
We're speaking with Steve Brooks. He is a professional dog trainer. He's based in L.A., but he literally helps millions all over the planet. He was the dog trainer for Travis and Presley, the winners of the Greatest American Dog title on the Greatest American Dog Show on CBS. And we're going to learn a little bit more about some canine myths, some great ways to bond with our dog in a positive, reward-based way, and maybe talk a little bit about some celebrities he's helped right after this commercial break.
Would you like to go out?
Well, actually, I was talking to your owner. I meant on a date, baby. Yeah, you and me.
Oh, behave. We'll be right back after these groovy, shagadelic messages.
Oh, yeah.
Greetings, human. What planet am I on?
Welcome to Pet Planet. Here's a copy of Pet Planet magazine, Florida's most informative and fun pet resource magazine. It features heartwarming stories and informative articles from local and national pet experts.
Excellent.
Pet Planet magazine offers Operation Planet Rescue, helping rescued pets find new homes. And it's available at 500 locations in South and Central Florida and 24/7 on the internet at petplanetmagazine.com. If you're out and about with your pet, you may be featured in paparazzi, candid pictures of you and your pet, For up-to-date pet-friendly events, activities, and pet-related services and products, Pet Planet Magazine is your final destination.
I shall take this magazine home with me.
Back to your home planet?
No, to my condo in Boca.
Pet Planet Magazine. Check them out at www.petplanetmagazine.com or 352-394-8578. It's out of this world.
Pick up something unique at A Bone to Pick Dog Boutique. A Bone to Pick has cool hip fashions for big and small dogs that will have their tails wagging in style. Cat products too. ABONE-TO-PICK.com. Check out our eco-friendly pet products and gifts for humans too. ABONE-TO-PICK.com. Get your pet's mouth watering monthly with our Gourmet Treat of the Month Club and join A Bone to Pick's free birthday club for your puppy. ABONE-TO-PICK.com. Pick up something special for your best friend at A Bone to Pick. ABONE-TO-PICK.com. Get 10% off with coupon code PETLIFE.
School's in session on Pet Life Radio with Teacher's Pet. Learn how to communicate with your pet, train your pet, and see the world from your pet's point of view. You may even learn a few tricks yourself. Teacher's Pet, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
We're switched back on, baby. Yeah, so let's talk pets with our smashing host, pet edutainer Arden Moore, and the groovy show that's cool, baby. Really shagadelic. Oh, behave!
Welcome back to the Oh Behave Show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. Our guest today is Steve Brooks. He knows dogs, and he knows people, and he's doing everything he can to build that bond stronger and closer. And Steve, thanks again. I'm glad you're on our show. Let's talk a little bit about some oopsies that we as humans or two-leggers do that we can maybe benefit by your savvy advice. What's a couple other training oopsies that we can avoid?
Well, some myths. One, I suppose, would be that you can teach an old dog new tricks. My dog, Sven, that I was just speaking about earlier that played piano, he didn't learn a lot of his tricks till he was 9 or 10. He learned how to get a beer out of the fridge, turn off the TV, the stereo, the alarm clock, all in his senior days. And it generates new brain cells to keep them active. So it's good until a dog, you know, just like people get Alzheimer's disease, they need to read and do crossword puzzles to stay, you know, keep that brain recharging. And an older dog needs to learn new tricks. They need to go on different walks, different directions. I've potty trained 10, 11-year-old dogs just the same way I would a puppy.
Wow.
And so that is one myth. You can teach an old dog new tricks, no doubt about
it. That's good. Okay.
Some other ones I could think of might be, came up just the other day, tail wagging. A tail wag doesn't always mean your dog is happy. A tail wag means the dog wants to interact, but they don't always want to interact in a good way. So you need to look at the rest of the dog. You need to look at the rest of the body language. You know, happy play bow. The dog's bowing, his butt's in the air, he's jiggly and wiggly. That's usually a pretty good, if the tail's wagging, that's a good sign. But if the tail's wagging and it's very erect and high and stiff, or the dog's silent and still, that's usually a bad sign. So you've kind of got to look at the rest of the dog, the ears, not just the tail.
That's a good point. Yeah, I think you're right. Well, let's talk a little bit about how did people like Cheryl Teagues and Cheryl Crow even find out about you, and what were some of the things that you were able to help with their dogs?
Well, a lot of it's just word of mouth. I think Cheryl Crow heard about me through Rick Rubin, who's a music producer, and just goes on and on. I grew up and I was born and raised in Hollywood, and just being here, it just comes with the territory. You just end up meeting a lot of celebrities. So it doesn't make me a better dog trainer. People are people, but it sure makes the job fun. And, you know, the dogs don't know that their owners are celebrities, but it is a lot of fun. I've trained, Cheryl Teagues and Cheryl Crow and William Peterson and Robert Downey Jr., just to name a few, but it's a lot of fun. It's just part of the territory living in Hollywood, I guess.
Did you get to go any jam sessions with Cheryl Crow when you were helping her with her dog?
No, but I was recording my album, I think, at the time I trained her dog, so she has a few copies of it. And yeah, there was one funny story that happened with Cheryl Crow's dog. She had two dogs. This was a few years back, but she had Lucy and Oscar, and they were kind of like Beagle, Akita mixes. And they were just wild, and they would play really rough. And one time I was in the yard, and the dog was opening his mouth, getting ready to bite the other dog's neck, just in some rough play, and a bee flew in the dog's mouth, stung it on the tongue. The dog squeaked a little bit, but that fixed that aggression, and I didn't have to do anything. And that's all I needed, and that kind of, they knew at that point that playing too rough was over the top. They knew to slow down, and so I had a little help from a bee. And, you know, a lot of other things people don't know about celebrities, like William Peterson, Cheryl Teagues, a lot of them, they're into rescuing dogs. William Peterson and his wife have rescued several dogs they brought to me, and we found homes for. Cheryl Teagues rescued a really fearful dog that we just did, you know, took so far. And a lot of them aren't just getting the purebreds from pet stores. So a little knowledge out there that a lot of these people do rescue dogs, and they're really helping out.
Well, I think it doesn't matter whether you're a celebrity or not. I think they also recognize that there's a genuine love being given to them, and they can give back without having to worry about the dog saying, you know, I need to be put in your will, or I need this or this. So I don't know, what's your take on some of these celebrities? They get a lot of time tugs, a lot of people tugging on them for favors and requests. I'm just wondering how good dogs are for celebrities.
Well, it's sometimes harder because they're not in town a lot. They have a big staff. A lot of them have, you know, for instance, you know, Rick Rubin's house, there was a recording studio, and there's just UPS and FedEx and tons of different people and assistants and managers and nannies and housekeepers and whatever, and with a lot of them. And that just makes it hard because not everybody's on the same page. And when the owner's gone for months at a time, it's the dog really needs a role model. And the role model, whoever it is, if it's a daycare, that's not a good thing. If it's another dog in the yard, it's not a good thing. They need some consistency. And even if it's a bunch of different people, if they are on the same page, they have the same commands, they know how to back things up the same way. So that's the hardest part, is I think just their lives are too hectic sometimes.
Okay.
And it's hard to get the whole family in tune.
What kind of dogs does Robert Downey Jr. have?
He had a Rottweiler named Bonnie. It was a while back. Another little funny story about Bonnie was after Bonnie graduated, and Bonnie was an amazing dog. She was just one of a kind, too. Just every once in a while, there's a gem that just is like golden, and Bonnie was one of them. But she graduated. She went home with one of my tags that said, if lost, call Steve Brooks Canine U. And a couple weeks later, I got a phone call from some frantic people saying they found a Rottweiler in their bed, in their bedroom. And so I like, what's going on? And I went down, I drove to Studio City. It was actually, the dog was staying with Robert Downey Jr.'s girlfriend, and he got out of the house somehow and ended up in a neighbor's backyard, went through the screen door, and was sleeping in their bed when they came home late at night. And a similar story, I think, that happened to Robert Downey Jr. years before.
That's funny. I think I can just see the dog going, what? What's the problem? You know my owner, you know, Robert Downey, he's my man, you know, I just got tired and, you know, just snoozing, just give me a break.
Found a nice bed and took a nap, but that was kind of funny, and that was Bonnie.
What's up for you next? I mean, you did a great job with Travis and Presley from The Greatest American Dog Show. What's next for our listeners to be able to keep tabs on you?
Well, we're doing a 40-minute documentary on Canine Fusion and my dog Sven and my life, and it should be out early next year. You could just keep tuned to my website. But it's a 40-minute documentary about drums and dogs, and it's very spiritual. And we did an 8-minute documentary before. This is going to be a 40-minute, and so keep your eyes peeled for that. It's also going to be called Canine Fusion, but it'll be the movie.
Okay.
And in addition to that, hopefully mid-next year, we should have a whole series of training videos out. So I'm looking forward to that. And, you know, just keep training dogs and trying to get the word out that there's a balanced approach is key to training dogs. There's not just one way to train a dog. People need to understand that one way might work for this dog, but you've got to be balanced. And reward-based training is much more fun, and you'll get better, long-lasting results.
When you say that there's not one way to train, that's very important. Give me an example of a couple of dogs that one style worked better for one dog and one style worked better for another dog, I guess based on what, their temperament and what their connection was with their owner?
Yeah, I mean, there's dozens of ways to teach just the down. I mean, I honestly have probably 24 ways to teach a dog to not pull.
Okay.
And some dogs, if I do something, they're, what's a good example? I have dozens of ways to teach any behavior. And some dogs that might be sensitive, I don't use corrections or hard corrections or no tugging or pulling, but some dogs are just don't even want to be touched on their head, or you can't even put a collar on them. Or, you know, sometimes I'll use a gentle leader. Other dogs will bite your hand off if you put a gentle leader on them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some dogs you could maybe manipulate a little bit and just, like, I call it guided learning. I don't jerk them to the ground, but maybe you can just help them gently. Other dogs, if you touch their feet, they're going to bite you. So you've got to be balanced and know that there's not just one way to do it. You don't want to do too much flooding where you force the dog into a scary situation. You want to take it slow and make better things happen and, you know, use behavior modification. Now, behavior modification works, but you still need to have two things first, management, and you need to have training foundation. Once you have the management is not letting your dog make mistakes through common sense things like leashes, collars, muzzles, baby gates, not letting the dog practice being bad. Then you need to get that training foundation down that I talked about earlier, and then you can have successful behavior modification with behavior problems.
That's great. You've never written a book, huh?
That's coming up as well, but it'll might take a little longer. I'm just in the beginning phases of actually two books. One will be a children's book about Sven, my crazy dog's life, and the other is going to be more of a serious training book. And they're both in the works. The video should be out sooner. The movie will be out hopefully by the end of the year or early next year.
Well, and you do have a lot of credentials. You know, you are, you know, a member of the Association of Pet Dog Trainers, and you did get a certification from the Council for Professional Dog Trainers. And you've been, I guess, mentored by one of the best folks on the planet when it comes to learning dog behavior, and that's Dr. Karen Overall. She's great. I've worked with her myself. So I think you're always a student and a teacher, don't you think?
Yeah, Karen Overall is just the best. She's just a brilliant woman. And, yeah, it's a lot of fun. Just you know, I do recommend certified pet dog trainers. If you're looking for a dog trainer, you can go to the Association of Pet Dog Trainers website, and you could look for certified pet dog trainers. That'll take you to the, you know, CPDT stands for Certified Pet Dog Trainer. And if it says that after somebody's name, CPDT, at least you know they have a balanced approach. They use reward-based training, and your chances are a little better if you go for a certified pet dog trainer.
Okay, and just to add more alphabet soup to our listeners, they can go to www.apdt.org, which stands for the Association of Professional Dog Trainers. But also, I think we need to leap over and go to your website, and that is Steve Brooks K9U, and that's a K, the number 9, and the letter U.com. Steve, I really appreciate you being on our show. I think the world is a better place when we have better behaved dogs and people. And it all deals with consistency and making sure that there's a good reward in it for both the people and the pets, correct?
Correct. And I really appreciate you having me on the show.
All right. Well, thank you. Like I said, go to SteveBrooksK9U.com to learn more. And in 09, be on the lookout for the Canine Fusion documentary, as well as hopefully a couple of books, one for the kids and one to help all of us of all ages. And thanks for sharing your story about Sven. You never know who's going to be the inspiration in your life. It could be a 2 or a 4-legger. And in this case with Steve, it was a wonderful dog named Sven, which probably plays drums better than most people I know, or a piano, right?
Piano. I did the drums, yeah.
Okay.
Also on my website, there's some resources where if you go to the resource section, there's a lot of holiday tips. I just put some Halloween safety tips up, and before each holiday, there should be some new tip ideas and safety ideas. And there's a lot of videos and fun clips and a lot of the past shows we've done. So if you go to the website, you can actually find the APBT website from my website. So SteveBrooksK9U.com, and keep checking it out because there's more and more resources, more and more information. We keep putting it up when we can.
Thank you for being on our show. And at this time, I also want to thank my cool producer, Mark Winter. He makes this all happen each and every week. And I want to thank all of you listeners, too, because our show, Obehave, has been nominated as a finalist for the general category for Podcast Award. And it's like all over the country, all over the globe. So we thank you for tuning in. We do have people from all over the planet listening to us. And until next time, this is your flea-free host, Arden Moore, saying just two words for all you 2, 3, and 4-leggers out there. Obehave!
There's nothing like a shaggy dog, baby. They're shagadelic. And this is the place to find out how to have harmony in the household with your pets. Oh, yeah. So stop by our pad every week and get switched on, baby. Switched on to the show that's all about attitude. Oh, behave. With your groovy host, pet edutainer Arden Moore. Yeah, baby, yeah. Every week on demand on PetLifeRadio.com.